From James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Prayer. Probably just saying that word brings a flood of thoughts and memories to you. You might think about people you're trying to remember to pray for. You might think of prayers you need for yourself. You might remember that moment you knew that a certain prayer had been answered. You might also remember the time you were pretty sure your prayer was not heard. You might remember prayers of joy, prayers of guilt, prayers of desperation, or prayers that were just there. I know many of those thoughts come to me as well. I also often remember the summer I worked at camp, and the theme for our Bible study was quite simply pray. One week I was counseling a group of junior high girls who disliked just about every outdoor activity we did the entire week. We got to the last night, the night that everybody at camp has to cook out dinner over a fire, and they were less than excited about it. We did Bible study right before the cookout, a study on the importance of perseverance in prayer. And I remember them asking me if they would have to cook out in a thunderstorm, and when I said no, they said they were going to persevere in prayer for a thunderstorm. That night, a tornado hit about a half a mile from camp. I'm not saying their prayer caused the tornado, but we all got a little be careful what you pray for lesson that night, which is a good lesson, because as we know from experience and we see in our scripture from James this evening, that even when we are unclear about how it's working and how it's being answered, prayer is powerful and prayer is important. So important, in fact, that James can't even end his letter without talking about it. What we read this evening were the last verses of the letter of James, and I can almost picture him getting to the end of his paper, realizing that he's running out of room, and quickly thinking, what are the final thoughts I need to tell these people? Prayer. Many of our other New Testament letters end with long greetings to the recipient. Not James. James is teaching until the very end. One might think he has no conclusion, but he really does, because in these last few verses, James continues and concludes the many themes he has already discussed by drawing on ideas surrounding prayer, rejoicing, and witnessing. The passage, it begins by saying, "Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them." And it goes on to say, "My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another." James does not tell us, is your most faithful member suffering? Then pray. Or did the richest among you receive good news? Then sing songs of praise. Did your best friend wander from the truth? Then go get them. No, these are options for everybody. Is anybody suffering, sick, cheerful, or wandering? Well, then pray rejoice. Go find them. Because James tells us here that all should and can receive prayer. Prayer is equal opportunity to all. This is for everybody in and out of our church. He uses the example of Elijah to show us that all of us can pray. Prayer is not something only for the pastors or only for the chosen few who seem really good at it, or only for those who really like to do it out loud. All of us can join together in prayer for those in need. There's equality in our access to prayer and to God. Because some of the good news of this passage is that we're all on level ground in this community of faith. In many other areas of our lives, we find ourselves ranked. At work, there are supervisors and promotions and evaluation. In school, there are grades and rankings. In all aspects of life, there are the haves and the have-nots, the good, the better, and the best. But what James is telling us here is that in God's family, there's none of that. We can all be prayed for. We can all pray. We can all rejoice. We may all wander. We can all be brought back. That's good news. And the good news of the letter from James continues as we move to looking at James' connection between doing and being. Throughout the letter, James tells his audience that you can't really be religious without doing some religion. He tells them that faith without works is dead. Because for James, religion is not just some concept, some high language that we talk about a lot but doesn't make sense. For James, religion is our everyday lives. It impacts all that we do. It practically applies to every single day. And this idea of connection between being and doing continues in the passage we've read this evening. Because while James could have ended this letter with some sort of great benediction with high and mighty claims about who God is, that's not what he does. Instead, he keeps the practice in mind. He continues to lay it out there, to tell his audience how they should live. He tells them to actually pray. He doesn't give some great theory on what prayer is or why it works or why some people are healed and some are not. No, he just tells us that to be Christian is to pray. He doesn't tell us what things in our lives should require rejoicing, what should make us glad, or how we should go about getting those things. He just tells us to rejoice. He doesn't even explain why some might be tempted to wander away, or even what that really looks like. He just tells us to go and bring them back. Because for James, this is what a Christian life looks like. Christianity isn't just claims about Jesus. It's the actual way of how we live our life. And this, then, is how James finishes the letter, with one last look at what the church is supposed to look like. One final direction after he feels like everything else has been taken care of. It's almost as though James is saying, I know that we have everything else under control now. How you treat others, how you live out your faith, you know how to listen, to watch your words and the things you say to others. Now don't forget to pray. Don't forget that being a Christian continues every day. When everything else seems under control, don't forget to pray. When you're out serving your neighbor or helping the poor or working for justice, listening and speaking carefully, remember that we're called to pray, rejoice, and witness. And of course, for James, this isn't something that we do alone. We need other people to pray for. We also need others because we have a responsibility to be helped. We have a responsibility to be prayed for, to be rejoiced over, mourned with, and brought back. The call to be helped might be harder for some of us than the call to actually help. When we help others, we get to feel good, to feel like we're doing something, that we're making some sort of contribution, that we're needed, and maybe that we're important because of the good we're doing in others' lives. But part of being in this community is the willingness to be helped, to admit that we can't do it all by ourselves. We need others. And we need God. It can also be difficult for us to admit when things aren't going well. It can be difficult to want to be in community during those times. Rejoicing together might be easier than praying together, mourning together, or bringing somebody back together. If there's a person in our community who's been around for a few weeks, and so you give them a call and ask what's going on in their lives, what are you likely to hear? If they haven't been around, are they going to say, you know, I just haven't felt comfortable at church in the last few weeks. Things are just going too good in my life. I got a promotion. My child scored the winning goal. We won a free vacation. I'm just not comfortable being with other people right now. That's probably not what you're going to hear. People rarely leave community when things are going well. I know an answer I've heard several times has been more like, you know, I just haven't felt comfortable at church these last few weeks. I lost my job. My child has been in trouble. One of my family members is in poor health. That's when we tend to run from community. But this is when James tells us we should be running to community, at least the type that he's describing. Because when we become the type of community that James is talking about here, we become the type of community where people feel comfortable and loved, no matter what's going on in their lives, where people give and receive love, where people show God. We show the grace and love of God to all we meet, and we experience it ourselves as well. We become a place that if one wanders from us, we go and bring them back, and they're welcomed and received with love. This is the kind of life that Jesus showed us when he came and when he lived among us. He prayed for others. He rejoiced with others. He went and got those who had wandered. And at the end of his earthly life, when he gathered with his disciples around a table, on the night when he knew he was going to be arrested and tried and crucified, he took bread and he gave thanks to God. And he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is the body of Christ. It's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."